after that trip on the road, it is important that those birds have an opportunity to, as you said, to settle down. So they need that time to rest so that, their bodies are able to relax. For 2 hours is a nice time point. So 30 minutes to 2 hours for, those hormones that are going through the blood, everything can kind of settle down before they enter into reception and through the process. So this does impact meat quality of the birds when they're done. So that lairage time is very important.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
AccuGut C.1 is a proven solution for your coccidiosis toolbox. Give those traditional tools a break and rotate to AccuGut C.1. Visit dsm-firmenich.com/AccuGut to learn more.
AB Vista, intelligent nutritional solutions to boost poultry health and performance. Natural Biologics is looking deeper to find the natural solutions to your poultry health challenges. Nexus, powered by SAM, where science meets performance. Sid Lines, an Ecolab company, AV Prime program offers a broad range of cleaning and disinfection solutions combined with tailored advice to improve hygiene on your farm or hatchery.
Welcome to the Poultry Podcast Show, brought to you by Wisenetics. I'm Doug Corver, dedicated to bringing you the latest insights and discussions in the poultry industry. Get ready to expand your knowledge and stay ahead with today's episode. If you find this episode interesting, please let us know by visiting our website at wisenetics.com. Our guest today is Diana Barassa, and she is Associate Professor and Extension Specialist at Auburn University. Welcome back to the program, Diana.
Hi, glad to be back.
Yeah, so we've had you on the show before, but can you briefly describe your research program at Auburn University?
So I was hired here at Auburn to work in the area of poultry processing because I have an extension appointment that gets expanded a little bit. So I pretty much work in the area of harvest through raw product. I was trained as a microbiologist, but I do all the things processing.
Great. So one of the things I'd like to talk with you today is about lairage. So can you briefly describe the lairage process in broiler production?
So I think I'll start here in the U.S. Our lairage procedures are once the chickens arrive to the processing plant, what we have here is pole barns. So they are parked underneath the pole barn to keep them in the shade. And then they are logistically wait their turn to enter the processing facility. So that's what we do here in the U.S., but other parts of the world are very different.
So is lairage part of the process from the standpoint of just the trucks arrive and they need to wait to process the birds, or is there something going on with the birds where lairage is actually, you know, doing something in terms of meat quality or maybe allowing the birds to settle down after a trip on the road?
Absolutely. So it's a little bit of both. After that trip on the road, it is important that those birds have an opportunity to, as you said, to settle down. So they need that time to rest so that, their bodies are able to relax. For 2 hours is a nice time point. So 30 minutes to 2 hours for, those hormones that are going through the blood, everything can kind of settle down before they enter into reception and through the process. So this does impact meat quality of the birds when they're done. So that lairage time is very important.
Join the Poultry Science Association at our inaugural PSA Pacific Rim Scientific Conference, October 13th through 16th in Macau, China. Explore groundbreaking symposia and hear the latest research impacting the global poultry industry. Here is your chance to present your latest work, recruit future leaders, and network with other experts in the field. Help us shape the future of poultry science. Register now at poultryscience.org. See you in Macau.
Yeah, I can imagine that, taking birds out of the environment that they've been used to the entire life and putting them on a truck and driving them down the road can cause some stress. So is it psychological stress? Is it physiological stress? Is it temperature stress? What are the kinds of stresses that that the bird experiences that, you know, you're waiting for those hormones to come down?
So I'm going to stick more on the physiological side. So there's okay. A lot of physiological stressors, and that's starts with the harvest process. They're going from their regular barn environment. They're being caught whether that's, you know, by the leg or by the body, and put into a coop. So it's a completely new environment, and then loaded onto a truck and transported anywhere from, you know, short time to, you know, 10 minutes to hours of transport, depending on what part of the world they're in. And during that time, you know, I'm here in the southeastern United States. For a lot of the year, it's very hot. So there can be a lot of heat stress involved here in the southeast U.S. In other parts of the world, let's say Canada, they're going to experience some cold stress. So there's stress that's going to happen. And, you know, this changes depending on the route. So here in the southeast U.S., we've got a lot of heat stress. But the logistics also consider which path that the truck needs to take. So if you imagine a truck driving through a town or a city, there's going to be stoplights and stop signs. And every time that truck stops moving, that increases heat stress. And heat stress, not only does it impact the meat quality, but will also have a pretty significant impact on DOAs, which is a big problem. You know, we don't want any DOAs if we can help.
So once the birds arrive in Larridge, what's done to control the temperature?
So lots of different things. In hot environments, what we do in the U.S., we put them underneath the pole barn, so they have to be in the shade, so they're not sitting out in the sun. And what we mostly do is we have large fans and misters to make the birds damp and then blow air across them so they can release that heat. Here in the U.S. is what we do in warm climates. Now, in colder areas, we do things like we put covers on the sides of the transport crates to avoid cold wind blowing through. Once the birds are together, though, they use their body heat to kind of heat each other. We just have to avoid cold wind and the cold type temperatures. So that's what we do in the U.S. Other parts of the world are totally different.
So are there temperature thresholds that the plant will try and keep the birds in between?
The way that we have things designed here, we don't have very good temperature control. There are a few facilities in the U.S. that are fully temperature controlled, which are very nice. But when you're parking a truck underneath a pole barn, so when I say pole barn, it's just a roof with legs. So there's no real way to do any temperature control there. So it's mainly using misters and fans to reduce the impact of heat, or using covers to reduce the impact of cold.
So from a scientific standpoint, is there, you know, if you could control the temperature or those facilities you mentioned, where do they try and keep that temperature? Because obviously you don't want it too cold. But you don't want it too hot either. So
I think the best kind of range to look at is upper 60s, low 70s in Fahrenheit. You'll have to convert that to Celsius for me.
So upper 60s probably be about 20, 22 degrees Celsius.
A cool, comfortable temperature is the ideal range, because then the birds, they're sitting, they're calm, they're, you know, breathing kind of slowly, and you know, they're able to comfortably rest.
Okay. All right. So the birds have been sitting there. Let's assume they're comfortable and they move into the processing plant. So let's look at what happens if the temperature is not comfortable. What are the impacts on meat quality?
So if the birds are getting too hot, what's going to happen is they're going to be agitated. There's going to be a lot of physical movements. We're going to end up with lower pH in our meat. And when we have lower pH, we end up with lighter colored meat, so lighter breast fillets. We end up with poor water holding capacity. So it really does impact things down the line. Also, when birds are hot and they're agitated, physically moving about, if we're doing electrical stunning, what happens is when they go to tip the birds out of the crate, their birds are going to have more damage because they're more physically active. They're going to bounce around a bit more. When they go to shackle them, they're going to be flapping more. So hot birds will both have physical bruising impacts and meat quality impacts with that lower pH, lighter fillets, worse water holding capacity. So it really does make a big difference down the line.
Mm-hmm. So I think you're describing pale, soft, and exudative meat. Mm-hmm. What about other meat quality defects? Does Larridge temperature influence things like woody breast or white striping?
Well, woody breast is there already, so we can't really make it better or worse necessarily with lairage temperatures. There's some idea that, you know, if you're, you know, PSE like meat is more soft, right? So potentially you could get a little bit of decrease in the feel of woody breast, but you're not going to change the structure of the tissue. It's there already. So we can't really change the woody breast or white striping myopathy with lairage temperatures.
So those are problems that occur earlier on, and there's not much more that can go wrong in, with improper lairage. So that's good to know. Okay, so are there strategies or technologies that processing plants can implement to better control lairage temperatures?
Absolutely. So if we, you know, look at, there's a few plants in the U.S. that have fully enclosed temperature controlled lairage environments. It's a high dollar investment, but it's very beneficial when you go down and you look at, you know, how much yield are you losing from bruising? How much yield are you losing from loss of water holding capacity, things like that. So you know, it'll take an economist to go through and figure out what ROI would you be getting from putting together that sort of facility. And if you go to facilities in Europe, you'll see a lot of temperature controlled lairage. So there are certainly benefits to doing that. Now, what we can do now is not a whole lot different. So if we reduce the number of birds per crate in a hot day, then that can reduce the body heat within the crates. You know, we continue using the fans and the misters. Fans and misters are also used out at the farm while they're catching the birds. So it's not just at lairage, but the goal of keeping them cool as much as possible is typically the goal.
Right.
There's only so much to do outside.
Yeah. So let's say there's a processing plant that thinks they have an issue with lairage. They're not sure what it is, but you know, they want to do a better job. So if you're going there and advising them, what kinds of things would you be looking for your first time out there?
Well, whether or not the barns are big enough, another thing they can consider is where they're located near the plant and which direction the sun is coming from. So there's a potential to have, you still want the air to flow through when you're outside, but there's potential to have a shade. So, you know, if it's getting early morning or late in the evening, the sun's going to be coming at an angle. So those trailers have to be parked in such a way that none of the trailer is sitting in the sun. So that can make a big difference on the positioning of those pole barns themselves.
So what about measuring the efficiency of the misters or the fan speed or the fan displacement, things like that? How would you assess that?
Well, ideally, everything would be working properly. Sometimes maintenance can be an issue when you go out there to look at those things. But they should also be recording temperatures at the birds, intermittently checking, making sure the temperature is where they want it at. Those birds are too hot, they have the option of increasing fan speeds. If it's, I've seen it happen before where you have an unseasonably cool day and somebody's got to go out and check those fans and misters and make sure we're not running them on an unseasonably cool day. So really it just takes the presence of mind for somebody to be in charge of making sure it's operating based on the ambient temperature. So we don't have fans running when they shouldn't be and that all the fans are running when they need to be.
Right. So it's a matter of paying attention to that quality control and maybe keeping in mind the negative effect on overall profitability when those birds are too hot or too cold or equipment's not working properly.
Absolutely. Because if you know, the company's invested and the farmers invested all that time and money and effort to grow these birds. And if they die during lairage, it's a complete loss. So that doesn't help anybody if it's not properly maintained.
So are you finding that processors are starting to pay more attention or asking more questions about how to improve, you know, bird survival, how to improve meat quality through doing a better job of lairage?
Absolutely. I think that's often a topic at weekly meeting is what percentage are the DOAs at? I mean, there's always going to be a few, but making that number better is always an interest. So it's not only for profitability of the, you know, birds coming through for meat production, but it's also super important for animal welfare. And companies are really focused on how can they make animal welfare the best possible it can be, you know, even at the processing plants. I know the birds are about to be slaughtered for consumption, but it's, well, animal welfare and the comfort of those birds is incredibly important all the way through to processing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, companies want to do the right thing, but there's also external pressures in terms of public relations and consumer acceptance and things like that. So do you find that companies are increasing their investments in lairage facilities? Or you mentioned some climate controlled operations. But in general, do you see a commitment to spending the money to do a better job?
So I would say yes. Part of doing that better job is also reducing DOAs. So there is, you know, that the person sitting in the accountant's office can bring up that ROI, and you can really see, you know, a dollar value to having the best lairage possible. So it's not just welfare, and it's not just business as far as the ROI, but it kind of comes together and as a really important thing. So there's been to a couple facilities here in the U.S. that now have fully temperature controlled lairage conditions, and, you know, it's very expensive to do, but I think they found it worthwhile to do so.
So The lairage temperatures can, you mentioned already, vary from different regions or even different seasons. So what can processors do? You mentioned having the person that's responsible. So is it a matter of temperature sensors inside the coops, or is it measuring water output of misters relative to expected? You know, nozzles get plugged and so what kinds of things should the person responsible be looking for to account for those changes over seasons, for example?
So that kind of goes back to maintenance. So making sure that, you know, like you mentioned, the nozzles are functioning properly. There's different size droplets for mists. So a smaller size droplet from the misters generally gets a better yield for cooling than larger size droplets. As far as reading temperatures, that often happens with like a infrared heat gun kind of method versus you don't really want to like a data logger inside the coops with the birds, because that won't turn out so good for the data logger. But, you know, periodically checking bird temperatures as they're coming through.
Are you doing any research currently on lairage temperatures?
So we are. One of my graduate students, Madeline Jennings, she's been looking at hot and cold lairage temperatures and how that influences meat quality after gas dunning. So there hasn't been much work in that area. And kind of the thought process there is, if you have hot birds, they're going to be breathing heavily and panting a lot, right? And versus cooler or cold birds are going to be calm and breathing more slowly. And when those birds enter into the gas dunning system, they're going to take up differing amounts of carbon dioxide initially when they enter. And some of the, you know, we're still working on the data, but some of the really interesting things we've seen is when we pull those hot birds out of their lairage area, we have a pilot processing facility. So we had to pick them up and move them over to our gas dunning system. And those hot birds, they are really agitated. So when we go to pick them up, they don't want to be picked up. They flap around. They move around a lot more physically. The cold birds, they're perfectly happy to be picked up and moved over where they need to go. So there's already a big behavioral difference going on there. And then when we put them in the stunning system, we can see that the hot birds are more agitated when exposed to carbon dioxide than those cold birds. So that lairage temperature for gas dunning has really made a big difference there at the beginning, just looking at their behavior. And then towards the end, when we're looking at meat quality, we see some differences in the hot birds kind of like we'd expect. They have lower breast muscle pH, higher lightness values. We didn't see a difference in water holding capacity, but we did see some of those changes that we'd expect for hot versus cold birds during lairage. And a lot of just visual behavioral differences when they're first being exposed to that carbon dioxide.
So in a typical Alabama day, do you find variation in different parts of the trailer in terms of temperature? Once they hit lairage and once that those fans and the misters start working, it's pretty uniform across the trailer.
There's going to be variation. The ones in the middle will always be warmer than the ones on the outside, unless they're sitting in the sun. So there's definitely variability within the truck itself.
So can then that affect the things that you just mentioned with, hotter birds being more agitated and taking up more of the gas than versus the calmer, cooler birds?
Yes, I certainly think that would make a difference. Those hot birds are going to behave differently than the cooler ones.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. The little bit of work that I've done in transport in Canada, in winter, we can actually have regions of the trailer where the birds are hot and regions of the trailer where the birds are cool. So that's an additional challenge. So I guess there's always something to be aware of and to try and do a better job of.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Beringer Ingelheim. Health experts bring industry-leading knowledge and expertise to today's poultry producers to help them solve challenging health issues through smart, science-driven decision-making using the best resources available. Probiotech International. Creating the next generation of feed and water additives to improve animal nutrition, health, and well-being. Innovation is in our nature. Visit probiotech.com/EN for more information. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge. Adiseo provides nutritional solutions and services to help producers achieve their targets in high quality, safe, and sustainable way. Making life easier for animals and those who care for them is the mission of Jeffo. Strong bird performance starts with a healthy environment. Healthy environments start with Jones Hamilton. Resistance affecting your coccidiosis program? AccuGut C.1 is a proven tool for your coccidiosis toolbox. AccuGut C.1 is a phytogenic formulated for poultry with plant-derived substances including essential oils, herbs, spices, and plant extracts. Reduce the reliance on chemical coccidiostats or ionophores to build cost-effective rotation and shuttle programs. Give your traditional tools a break and rotate to AccuGut C.1. Visit dsm-firmenich.com/AccuGut to learn more.
If you're enjoying this episode of the Poultry Podcast Show, presented by Wisenetics, please remember to like, subscribe, and share it with your family and friends. You can also set the notifications to on from our channel so you don't miss any other upcoming episodes. And please feel free to leave us your comment at any time. Your feedback is always valuable to us. So, Diana, just changing gears a little bit, what is your favorite poultry-related book or resource?
Well, I have to say lately here, we've been spending a lot of time with Sturkey's Avian Physiology because we've been taking some blood samples and we need to kind of go look into the physiology, what's happening to those birds during the gas stunning. So we spent a lot of time with Sturkey's.
Yeah, that's a good one. How about outside of agriculture or poultry science? What's your favorite book or resource?
Okay, so I read at home some, and this is just a fun book. But if you've ever looked into, it's called Dungeon Crawler Carl book series. It's very entertaining. It doesn't take a lot of brain power to enjoy them. So that's a good, relaxing kind of book to read.
Well, that's important too. And finally, in your opinion, what sets apart a successful poultry professional from someone that's maybe still trying to find success?
Well, I have to tie that back to extension. I think knowing what's going on in the poultry industry will help someone find success. Because if you meet people and build your network and know what the current issues and problems are, that really helps drive research that is going to be impactful, whether that's on the short or the long term. But I think impactful work helps people find success.
Yeah, great. Thanks very much. And thank you for taking the time today to talk with us. It's great having you back.
Thank you.
That concludes another episode of the Poultry Podcast Show presented by Wisenetics. Thanks for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to stay updated on future episodes. And if you enjoyed today's episode, please leave us a review. Your feedback is invaluable. Visit our website at wisenetics.com and learn more about all our poultry podcast segments like poultry, swine, dairy, beef, feed mill, crops, and even pet food. I'm Doug Corver, and I'll see you next time on the Poultry Podcast Show.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.